All right. Hey, guys, welcome back. We did it. It's our 10th episode. We made it into double digits. Hooray! It's good news all around. Before we get into it, a little bit of housekeeping, some fun stuff. So hopped on the old Instagram, camptime_realtime. It's been pretty fun connecting with people on there. And hopefully you guys are listening to the pods now. So hello, welcome. But yeah, check us out over on Instagram. I am learning in real time how to be an Instagrammer. I'm sure you can tell the skill level through the roof. camptime_realtime on Instagram. And this is another important one. So email address, camptimefcdc@gmail.com. And here's why I say it again. So I want to do a mailbag episode of sorts. And what I want you all to do is to record like a voice memo of any sort of like memory you have of camp. It can be literally anything. And just tell me a quick story. And through the magic of my amazing editing, I'll put it together. And that'll be our little mailbag episode. Now, traditional mailbag, you know, ask a question. Sure, please send those questions along. I'm happy to answer them to the best of my ability. But yeah, I want to hear from you. So I've got a couple set to go, and I would like some more. So record a voice memo. You can do it on your phone and send it over to camptimefcdc@gmail.com, and we'll put those all together. Okay, for today, I am talking to my friend Aaron, who was my camp buddy. We were in the same tribe, all growing up through camp, and we were all part of the same crew, and it was really, really fun. Aaron was a CIT, and then that was it. So I had about like 10 more years at camp than him after that. So this is really focused on our time as campers, which was fun to get back and relive those memories. We just went through the tribes that we were in. We got through like some specific memories that stuck out, including our counselors, our favorite counselors. A lot of boating stuff. This is where you'll find out about our turtle catching. We talked about overnights, which we really haven't talked about because I'm waiting for. Hey, if there's someone out there who wants to talk about overnights, hit me up. But at the end, we played a little bit of Aaron wanted to know, like, do they still do this at camp? And it was great. First question, I'm like, I don't know. But this was, if you were a camper or a counselor from like the years 1988 to 1994, this is, I mean, hyper niche, every episode is. So enjoy it. And yeah, follow us on Instagram, camptime_realtime, and send me an email with your voice memos, camptimefcdc@gmail.com. All right, long intro, but totally worth it. We can all agree. I have a vivid memory of us being Algonquins, but when did you start? Were you a tenderfoot?
I believe I was. I know for sure we were Algonquins. I'm pretty sure I did junior camp. I want to say I have a memory of being a Pueblo.
Oh, interesting. Because I was going to say I have a memory of being a Mohawk. And yeah. I always kind of looked down on the Pueblos.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, I don't quite remember. So
it was 35
years.
Yeah,
I know I was an Algonquin. I know I was a Shawnee.
Yep.
I know that we were Mi'kmaqs.
Yep.
I know that we were Mohicans.
Oh, you're missing Choctaws.
Choctaws. Yeah. Choctaws. And Mohican and explorers.
Right. So when we were Algonquins, let's start there because that's really all I remember. I remember going for 6 weeks that year. And it was the first time. And I think it was because my brother had gone for 6 weeks or something to that effect. And I think you were 6 weeks also.
There were some sporadic summers when like I would spend more time on the Cape and maybe mm-hmm. it was like 2 weeks that I missed, but most years I was a full 6 weeks.
Yeah.
My sister went too, so
right.
It was a way to get us both out of the house.
I know. Well, you know what? Holliston was like, it had a pretty big contingent back in the day. We were like well represented and I feel like known about. We had like, there were like, or maybe this is just, you know, my memory, but I feel like we had some like people that everyone at the camp knew about where we could claim from Holliston. Always took pride in that. But when we were Algonquins, that was the first year that Todd was a counselor. Do you remember that?
And was that his first year? I don't remember if it was his first year, but I remember like Todd was my guy when I was in Algonquin. Like that was my favorite counselor. To this day, I look back at it as my favorite counselor. And a really funny thing is about almost 10 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm down in San Diego for a Patriots Chargers game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going up an escalator and like to get to the high level for my seats.
Mm-hmm.
And I turn around, there's this guy that looks very familiar to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that looks like Todd Ferris. And I don't know why that popped in my head.
Right.
Because I hadn't seen him in 15 years or something like that.
Right.
I'm like, this guy reminds me of what I remember of Todd Ferris. So
sure.
And I turn and I said, do you happen to be Todd? Is your name Todd? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I'm Aaron Lewis. I was one of your campers at FCDC,
Stop
I think.
It.
It's like, Aaron Lewis, no way. So we had a magical ride up this long ass escalator for about a minute, just quickly being like, you know, he's like, yeah, my friends and I, we do one Patriots away game every year. And we thought San Diego would be the right time to go. And I'm like, yeah, I live up in LA now. It's awesome to see you. And he was like, I think he was shocked that I actually recognized him. And I was kind of shocked as well. And yeah, we just very briefly talked and then we got to the top level and then we went our separate ways never again. But it was a really cool moment.
Wow. That's amazing. And you ran into Sean O'Shea too, right?
Yeah. So Sean O'Shea, who was one of our buddies in our tribe growing up. And he was mutual friends in college with someone that I met through a mutual friend as well. Perfect. And we became, you know, I became very close. This guy was out in LA and he got married out on the beach on Venice Beach. And I go, it turns out that Sean O'Shea went to college with him. So I looked at Sean, he looked at me and I'm like, Sean O'Shea, he's like, Aaron Lewis. And so we ended up having an awesome time. After that, we went to, there was like the reception was at a bar. So
caught up.
Kind of reminisced a bit about camp and he's down living in Orange County, California. I think he runs a brewery now.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's wild. Having the 3,000 miles away and 15 years in the past and being like, pretty sure I know who you are.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the funny thing about camp. Like, you know, I have not kept in touch with a lot of people from camp. And, you're certainly an exception. But when you do like have that magical moment where it clicks, you're like, oh, I went to camp with this person.
Yeah.
It's like nothing ever changed. Like you're just really friendly with each other. You're happy to reminisce, tell some inside jokes about the camp. And
it's
been, those moments are really fun. They're few and far between for me, but when they do happen, it's pretty awesome.
Isn't it crazy? Because I mean, yeah, this makes no sense that I'm doing this, right? So I have more.
Well, you've always been such a camp stan.
I know. I was all in.
If you told me when we were 12 that Sarah Fan would one day be doing a podcast about camp, I would first say, "What the hell is a podcast?"
Podcast, yep.
Obviously, and then second, like, oh yeah, that's definitely Sarah's brand, right?
Yeah. Well, so this was Aiden's first year as a camper, and it was like, I'm back. I pulled in and I was like, oh, yeah. This is great. And it helped that there are probably a half dozen people still working there who I know. And so it's not only do you get just the instant nostalgia of being back on the campgrounds, but you can swap stories with people who were there. And it's just like, it was so much. So, and then I'm like,
So who's still there? Like, who would I know that's still there?
So Sam's running it now.
I saw that. And I think that that's actually perfect.
It's amazing. Yeah.
I'm sure that is truly, truly something else. Like he probably, I'm assuming that he just mimics everything down to a T. Like I did sneak on the website. I saw the picture of him with the suspenders and the feather, but I'm sure he does like a lot of the same stuff that Tom did.
Yeah. And he holds the same like the people who are there right now, look at him as we looked at Tom, right? Like this is the guy who's in charge. He's it's like he's by all accounts has like kept the traditions in place and has like come along with, you know, in the 21st century and just kind of made it evolve and be amazing. So that's been really cool. Kelly's at the pool, still running the pool. Was
Kelly Park?
Yeah. So she, wow. Was she our counselor as a Choctaw? I want to say her first year, she had us with Eric.
Gosh, maybe that might make sense. That kind of makes sense because I remember like there was that guy, Trevor, who I think was one and done.
We'll get there. Yep.
Was he Mohican? Mohican. And then Joyce was Explorer, right?
Yeah.
So Choctaw.
So I think we're kind of going out of order, but as Choctaws,
did you expect anything else?
No, absolutely.
This was going to be a rambling talk.
No, you've listened to the pod. There's no organization. Yeah. and again, your producer brain must be like, oh no.
That's why they create the edit button.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So as Choctaws, I believe our head counselor was Eric Giddings, who is like camp royalty, been there forever, nutty buddy champion. And he, and it was kind of like, I think for us, I think he was our first like, real like established legend that we had as a head counselor. I could be wrong, but just in thinking back who our other head counselors were, like it's like when we had Todd, he wasn't yet like Todd, it was his first year, that was it, but we had it, and we're like, oh okay, Eric, and he introduced baked bean bonanza at cookouts,
which is a legacy with me.
Is now. It really?
Wait, who introduced baked bean bonanza?
Eric.
Are you sure? Because my memory is that Trevor introduced that to us. Oh, I had it in my head that the one thing I remember from Trevor, who again, one and done counselor, was he introduced us to baked bean bonanza. And I immediately fell in love. So for those who don't know, maybe they do know, I don't know if it became a camp staple. Baked bean bonanza was something we had at cookouts, which was just a stew that was nothing more than baked beans, hamburger meat, and chopped up hot dogs.
Wow, it lives on. That's amazing. So Trevor, our Mohican counselor. So we go from having Eric, who is like the staple, been here forever. Everyone knows him, core counselor. And then we get Trevor, who is a brand new first year counselor. And anytime it's a new counselor, I think I said this to Ty earlier, but like it's we're 10 or 11 at this point. And this, you know, like young adult comes in and we're like, you don't know as much as we do. Like we immediately are like, well, you counselor are going to have to prove yourself to us because, you know, we're 10. So he comes in and we're like, all right, who's this guy? You know, all right. So he's fine. The most important thing that Trevor did was ran boating. And that was essential to our development because every single tribe time we went boating and it was amazing.
Well, we needed that. I mean, boating you know, when you rank the activities, and I think you'll agree with me, it was boating.
Yep.
And then everything else way down here.
Ooh, like, everything else.
Boating was 1A, 1B, 1C, maybe 2A, 2B, 2C, and then 3 and everything else was way down here. Like, boating was all that mattered. It was like the only one that I would get really amped up for.
Yeah.
Before we went. Like, yeah. Today a boating day. Today is going to be a good day.
Yeah. You see boating on the schedule and you're like, yes. Yeah. Do you remember early on, the first day that you had boating, you wouldn't get in the water? Do you remember this? It would just be like, here are the strokes.
Yeah, you had to do like the safety type thing, show that you could get the vest on, show that you could get into the canoe easily.
I young kid, I was like, this is baloney.
we don't need this orientation. We're kind of experts here.
Yeah.
Let's get the show rolling.
I've been coming for 6 weeks for 3 years now. So, you know.
Well, what was always kind of a bummer was sometimes it would just be a big rainstorm and sometimes the waters would be too high. And they're like, it's just unsafe to go boating today because you'll go over the rocks and go under the bridge. And once you're under there, then it becomes really dicey to get you out of there.
Yeah, so, that's it. You're halfway to Boston at that point.
I do remember we did it a couple times and like the current would just take people over and, you know, maybe it was Trevor, maybe it was Eric Giddings, I don't know. But I remember he'd go on the rock dam, he'd walk on the rock dam and save everyone's lives before they go over. I distinctly remember him like pushing people back off before they went over like a goalie, making sure that, you know, he wouldn't get a visit from Gail. How did these kids wind up in Medfield?
Right.
Because they drifted all the way past the rocks. So.
Oh my gosh, I'd forgotten about that. So why don't you tell us about, we were boating every single day. It was truly amazing. It honestly felt like a reward for us for having been there.
You have to understand, and people at home have to understand, it wasn't about boating. It wasn't the boating. It was the turtle catching. They could have called that activity turtle catching. We were the turtle hunters.
That's right.
Yeah. We didn't care so much about a leisurely boating excursion.
Right.
We wanted to have our solid crew. It was you, me, AJ, David Sear, who had the long arms.
Yes. So good for turtle catching.
Yeah. And that's all we wanted to do. We wanted to catch as many turtles as we possibly can so that we could race them at the end of the day.
Naturally.
At the end of the session.
Right.
Yeah.
But... so yeah, it was you, me, AJ, and Dave. That's right. And we, not only was that just our crew, but we also had the like assigned seating in the canoe. And
oh yeah.
Yeah. And it was, I was in the back because I'm a maniac. And yes. Dave was one of the middle people because he had the very long arms.
Yeah.
And were you in the middle or were you in the front?
I can't remember.
I think you were in the front.
I want to say that I was in the front too, and AJ was kind of
Because
number two. But it's possible. I honestly don't remember. I have memories of both, if I can be honest about it.
Maybe
if I can be honest with my silly memory.
Well, so you know how there are. There are two tribes for each age group growing up.
Yes.
So we were, you and I were always in the same tribe throughout. And that was, that was awesome. And then as we got, it must've been as we got to like, I think it was Mohicans when it was like the merge basically. And I kind of remember being like, okay, like we'll let you guys into our group. Like, and of course that's not how it works. And I didn't have any control, but I remember being like, all right, like AJ, like you seem to know Aaron, I guess that's okay.
Well, AJ and I went to Hebrew school together. Right. I had like these Venn diagrams with camp friends. So like you and I, we went to high school, we grew up together. We also did extended day. So you and I did a lot, you know, we're around each other a lot.
Absolutely.
Like, you're around.
Yep.
And then AJ, I knew from Hebrew school. Mm-hmm. So he was my camp friend slash Hebrew school friend.
That's right.
And then And then, yeah, it was, I think there was like one or two others from my Hebrew school. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
Were also, if they weren't in our group, they were also at camp as well. But yeah, it's just funny how like I just had different overlapping friends.
But and then it was like, with all things at camp, we'd do these 6 weeks of mostly turtle catching. And and then it was over. Like, good luck trying to explain that to anyone, back at school. It's like, oh, what, you went to that camp?
6 weeks was so long. Like, oh, we're the long haulers.
Right.
For camp, 6 weeks. And now I think back, I'm like, 6 weeks is a really short amount of time. I can't believe it felt as big as it did, back when we were living.
Well, it was big. And I remember as getting older as a camper, being aware that it was a finite amount of time. Right. So I always really, really loved camp. There was one year I remember, and the first day was over, and I remember being bummed. I was like, there are only 29 more days. Like, that's an insane thing to think. And I got over it, but I didn't have the mental acuity to be like, sure, but that's still most of the days. Let's live in the present, Sarah.
Are you sure AJ wasn't with us earlier? I feel like AJ was with us earlier than.
So when we were Micmacs, there were either too many kids in our tribe or someone had requested to be in the Micmacs and they hadn't accounted for it. And Tom was like, hey, does anyone want to go to the Apaches? And I was like, I'll go, not thinking, because I always wanted to be in like the older tribe of the two. Yeah. And it didn't occur to me that if I went to the Apaches, I would be leaving all of my friends in the Micmacs until like it all came rushing in. And I was like, I've made a terrible mistake. And so.
I want to get this straight. So you were a volunteer? Because yeah. there was part of me that was like, we need to separate these kids. they're kind of a bit of a handful.
Yeah. Well, we were.
I thought there was maybe some method to that madness.
No. So they asked for a volunteer. And yeah. I, or my memory is they asked for a volunteer. And I was like, oh, my ticket to being an Apache. And then as soon as they were like, okay. I remember like looking back to you guys and you're like, what? And I was like, oh no.
Like, hi, Sarah.
And it didn't cross my mind. I was like, I don't know these people. I knew Liz Baxter. Our families were friendly. I knew her.
I was trying to think of her last name. I was when you told me we were doing this, I was thinking back. I'm like, Elizabeth. I kept on thinking Elizabeth Warren. I'm like, there's no way she went on to become a 60-year-old senator from Massachusetts.
You, me, and Elizabeth Warren. It was amazing. we were taxing. We had a wealth tax. It was great. We had this whole, it was such a nicely run camp. So I volunteered. And the next day, I was like, can I go back? And they were like, no. Not until next session. And I was like, oh boy.
I think there was, as I remember, there was a part of me, I'm like, Sarah seems a little too happy to be in this group here. I'm like, did she want to get away from us? I remember having a little complex for a couple of days about it. And then I go,
no. So you know what the great thing about being an Apache was? No music.
Oh, we were stuck to music. Oh,
yeah.
Maybe that was it. Maybe that was my jealousy because I just wasn't feeling music at all.
So for whatever reason, the last tribe that had music was Micmacs, but Micmacs were the same age as Apaches. So never really seemed fair. And at that point, music, it was just like, it wasn't the right activity for the age.
Yeah, because like when you're no longer going to music, you got to start with another activity.
Video.
Right?
Video.
Oh, video. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get video. Okay. Yeah. I think I probably we were probably 11 or 12 at that point, like put on a brave face of like, no, I like this, like no music, I've double video, but no, I was from the first day, I was like, I want to go back. I need to be with my friends. And that was also, so that was the year that our, like my like first favorite counselor, Chris, came into the mix, and you guys all had her for swimming, and, yeah. And I didn't have her. So I came back to the Micmacs, and you guys are like, oh, like we have the coolest, because I think it was her first year. You guys are like, we have the coolest swim counselor, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't know who this is. And then I felt like I had to like make up for like the 2 weeks that I didn't have her. Like, you know, you're my favorite counselor.
She gave you an awesome nickname too.
Oh.
Do you remember the nickname she gave you?
Oh, shoot. What was it? Tell the people.
Slugger.
That's right. Oh man.
She started calling you Slugger. I'm like, yeah, Sarah's a slugger, all right.
It fits.
Makes sense.
It fits. We were pen pals for a few years, Chris.
That's
and I.
Awesome.
So getting back to, yeah. So when we were Micmacs and Apaches, yeah, that was the great Sarah away from the group for a minute. And then that was one of the 2 years that we got to experience overnights. And that was another thing. I was like, oh, who am I going to tent with? And luckily, like I knew Liz, but I was like, this whole thing is wrong. I need to go back.
Overnights. And I remember they did away with overnight. What was it? An insurance thing? Is that, if I remember what it was?
I think that was the legend that was passed down. I think because I remember coming back and it was just like, nope, we're not doing them anymore.
That was a bummer because you like wait all that time so that you can have those overnight sessions because that was like what the older cool kids got to do.
Do you remember the kind of the series of events that would happen at an overnight, like after the, you know, everyone?
So everyone would just sit there at your post until everybody would leave. Mm-hmm. And then once all the younger kids would leave, then you would go. What would they take us to get ice cream? Was it? I remember there was some ice cream involved at some point. There was some sort of activity that we would. Would there be like a late afternoon swim we would do?
Yeah. So we would. Tom would, right after everyone left, as we were sitting on our like mound of sleeping bags and pillows and clothes, he'd like kind of gather everyone together. And then we'd head out to our campsites and kind of finish putting up tents if you hadn't done that at tribe time. And I'm not sure if it was then we would have dinner or whatever, but at some point we would come back, do a free swim.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, is the free swim? I can't remember if the free swim is after or before the counselor hunt where
that we would find cattle. That was awesome.
I know.
That was so awesome.
Tom would take all the kids into the stables and kind of run off the rules. It's a big, big game of hide and seek, basically.
Right.
And so think about this in the lens of 2021. All of the counselors would scatter throughout 250 acres. And then it was up to the kids on their own to go find them.
Yes.
It was awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I always looked forward to that.
Oh my gosh.
I forgot about that. But yes, that was great. And I always thought about once I'm a counselor, where would I hide? Of course.
Absolutely.
Like, he never got the opportunity.
Right. Yep. I think that was everyone's thought. Like when I'll hide, because I think you would, this is another thing where you'd hear legends of like where people hid, like up in a tree out like beyond the power lines, like they were everywhere.
And wasn't there like if you got a head counselor, you would get a higher bounty for them?
I think it was I think it was number of years they had been there. So if you got
because I think it was like weren't there some that like legendarily like would never be caught?
Yes.
Like Eric Giddings, for example, like
I think
he had like a hiding spot that no one ever found.
I think so. Yeah, that sounds right. It like that was just so much fun. And I think like the one rule was like, you have to have a buddy. You can't roam by yourself. Like as if that like kind of satisfies the safety element of like 100 kids just roaming.
Can't imagine why they did away with
right? So I think actually it would be then it was a free swim. And then there was a show down at the theater that the counselors put on for the camp. Right. And do you have any memories of that?
I only have one real memory of that. And your brother was actually involved. Your brother was an assistant or CIT at the time. Mm-hmm. And it's entirely possible that my sister, because my sister, they were the same age as well. I can't remember my sister, but for some reason, I just vividly remember your brother being involved, doing a lip syncing performance of EMF's Unbelievable, which if that isn't the most perfect 90s time capsule moment for FCDC, I don't know what is. But like, I remember him like having the glasses on, they had a bunch of lights flashing and all that. And then they're just lip syncing Unbelievable. Wow, these guys are actually rocking out. They're just standing there air guitaring and pretending to play this up music. But it was a fun memory.
The only thing that would make that more camp would be if you were wearing one of the prom dresses that was in like the trunks that they had at theater. So after the show, then we'd go up to do a huge bonfire, which is, I don't know the timing of this, where that bonfire was is where the bell is now. And I don't, were you there when they moved the bell?
Wait, the bell is at games now, no longer at voting? It was news to me.
Oh, so the bell though was never at boating. It was boating who would ring it, right? Is that
no, it was at boating. It was like right, it was attached to the boathouse.
Oh.
I'm not making this up. I'm 40 years old now. I get it. I know that my brain is slipping.
But some things,
maybe a lot of it.
Some things.
But that bell was attached to the boathouse it was the person at boating who was responsible for doing it. When you say the bell, I will always associate the bell with the boat.
Wow. So
always.
That's funny. Yeah. So, okay. So it's not there. There's now like a bell independent structure where that fire pit used to be where we'd have the overnights. And it's the games counselor. So games meets, this is interesting. Games meets down the hill, like in that picnic table down, like
where they did the playground?
Edge. Yes. Yeah.
Back in the day. All right. Yep.
Yeah. Was it like that when you were there last? Because when we were younger, games would meet up.
It would
by
be
post.
Up where the, at the, yeah, the secondary flag. Post is around the flag. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So this is good timeline stuff.
I never knew games to be anywhere else. It was always up around the flagpole.
Yeah, it's one of those things you think about it now. You're like, well, what else were we using that huge open plot of land for?
I don't remember anything being there. Again, only for playground.
Except
I remember
playground.
Like gigantic kickball games during playground with like 100 kids who didn't want to do free swim for whatever. I remember there was like at least one year when I'm like, I'm not doing free swim at all. I'm just
And we made it a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd have your at bat. It would be like 50 people against 50 people. And there would be a long line of people waiting for their turn to kick the ball.
Yeah.
And you had 20 people in the outfield.
I do remember somehow always getting an at bat every inning.
that's the slugger persona right there. Elbowing your way to the front of the line.
I was like, I play club. I can help the team win. But yeah, kickball was our big thing. As you heard on Jack's, dodgeball became like the thing.
I heard that, to the point where they had to ban it.
Yeah, but the once a week is enough. Thank you very much. But yeah, that's right. We would play kickball all the time. Yeah, there was one summer that we just, 150 degrees out, no playground for me. No thank you, free swim. And then there was also a summer that during free swim, we'd just tread water and just be like, we're going to tread water all free swim. Do you remember this? And I was like, cool, maybe it'll be an announcement at flag if we can do it for the full 45 minutes.
Right. Well, I don't remember doing it during free swim. I certainly remember during the, you know, swim lessons and swim class that when you get to a certain advanced, you had to do like a full 30 minutes of treading water, and you would sing songs while you did it.
Think
it was actually Chris telling us that, like, when you get really, really advanced, you have to like tread water for like 10 minutes while holding up a brick, and you can't get the brick wet at all.
Yeah.
I remember being like, well, that's an impossible human feat. I don't know. That is Aquaman and Aquaman only who can do that. I do remember like early on, I think when we were either junior camp or something like that, you had, maybe it was when we were Algonquins.
Mm-hmm.
We had to, you had to stay in the junior camp pool until you could show a certain proficiency of swimming. At that point, I was just dog paddling.
Right.
And I remember you had figured out how to crawl and everything. You were moving on to the other pool, and you like stepped up in lessons. I'm like, I want to, like, the competitive nature, like, sure, Sarah can do it, I can do it too. So I remember going to the, one weekend going to the Cape and telling my dad that, like, I really need to learn how to like swim for real so that I can move up and swim lessons with Sarah. And so he taught me that weekend how to do the crawl in the ocean. And it was like a very splashy type of crawl, but I was doing it. And then I come back that next week and I start doing it. And like the swim instructor, whoever it was like, how did this kid suddenly learn how to do this? All right, you're ready for the next level. So they immediately just put me into the big pool with you and whatever your level was.
That's crazy. So
yeah.
That's so funny, because I also remember Algonquin year, Chris Jenkins was in our tribe.
Chris Jenkins. Wow.
Uh-huh. And we were, one of the things they were teaching us was diving, and no one could get it. And same thing, Chris Jenkins came back after a weekend and just went in. And I was like, no, I was like, if I'm doing it. And I just was like, that's it, I can dive too. So yeah, I like,
The old knee, bend at the knees and do the prayer and just kind of fall forward?
Not even, because he did it off the diving board. And I was like, me too. Wow. And so it was just like a very like run and fall into the water. But competitive nature. But like, I don't know, we also, we learned how to swim. What prompted us to be like, hey, our thing, or your thing in particular, is going to be like talking backwards?
I discovered at some point, I don't know the exact age, I was probably 9 or 10. This is the story of how I learned how to talk backwards, or that I could talk backwards.
Right.
So we were watching, I was watching TV and was watching a commercial for Lucky Charms, or no, Trix, for Trix.
Sure.
And so the rabbit ends up stealing the bowl of Trix from the kids, gets into a rocket ship, blasts off into outer space, ends up in Mars, where he can have his bowl of tricks in peace, because, you know, those kids are always mad that he's stealing tricks, trying to get it back.
Sure.
And so he's about to dig into his tricks, and out of nowhere, these aliens pull up, and they grab the trick cereal away from him, and they say, "Illis Tivar, exert ira, Rob Steve." And the voiceover comes on and says, "What are the aliens telling the rabbit? Find out on the back of your next box of Trix cereal." And I just said to myself, I don't need to buy a box of Trix cereal. I know that they're just saying, "Silly rabbit, tricks are for kids," backwards.
Right. Not an idiot.
And I was like, wait, how did I know that? And suddenly I realized that I can talk backwards. And to this day, it's still a talent that I have. As long as it's a word that I know how to spell, I can say it backwards and pretty much immediate.
Wow.
So
is that on your resume? That's amazing.
It should be.
Yeah. Well, it would have been your second, because I do believe you went up and did that at Sing. I think when
I don't know if I did it at Sing. The one thing I do remember is when we were at archery and we had to go over the rules every day at archery.
Right.
Karen, I think, was running archery at the time. She would read each rule and then have me read it backwards. And this was every single day at archery. And like the only one I remember was do not shoot arrows until you're told to. And so I would say, Atun tu sora vina iradawata. And that was how we would do that. So we did every single rule and I would read it backwards.
Safety first.
Every single time. Yeah.
Amazing. I totally don't remember that. That's awesome. Oh man.
It is a timeless talent that I'm glad that throughout all these years, I can always bring that back at any point and entertain people for 5 minutes.
Yeah, there's some backwards word. It's like utis revenue, and I don't know what it is.
University.
University, that's what it is. I say it in my mind all the time. I don't know what it is. There it is. Thank you. All right, you can go. Goodbye. When we were explorers, I remember Sue telling us, I don't know if it's true, but the story was like, we're going to start a tradition where explorers create something in woodworking and we'll put it up like out in the wood, like you'll have a tree or whatever. Anyway, so yeah, Sue was like, we've got this new tradition. Explorers are going to create something in woodworking and we'll put it up like on a tree out, out in the woods. And so, cool. So we got to work and I recall being the true, like, what were we, 12 years old? I was like, I'm going to make a Nike swoosh, obviously. <Yeah. laughs> And what did you make?
I don't remember. I know you sent me a picture of it.
Yeah.
Somewhat recently, I think over the summer.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't remember what I made.
I think yours was more, it was like a square that like the painting really set it apart. Was you had written something. I'll have to get the picture up.
I have absolutely no artistic abilities whatsoever. So if you could discern what it was, then it might have been my best art project ever. I'm just like, I cannot draw a straight line. Like when it came to woodworking, I could not saw straight. Like everything was always a little bit angled and crooked.
No, these were not, I wouldn't call them keepsakes. But it is cool though, because
great.
Us being the first year, you walk across a bridge and it's right there. It is very cool. It's definitely a point of pride.
I actually made a list of things that I categorize as, do they still do this? Or is this still a thing at camp?
All right, let's run through it.
So let's see. I don't want to be stepping. This is your show.
No, that's fine. That's fine. All right. It's fine.
So do they still do this? Hermie. Do they still do Hermie?
Oh, I don't know. So far so good.
I need somebody to ring in on that.
I know.
All right. Counselor competition, I assume that's still got to be a thing.
Yes, but they no longer do heads versus assistants versus CITs. They mix them all up and it's like red, white, and blue.
Probably better, because I think the heads always won. I think it was always fixed for the heads.
Yeah. A little parody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because do they do the pool battle royale?
They do. Yeah. Yep.
And then the belly flop competition, is that still a thing?
It's still a thing. There's no more diving board. Yeah. So there's no more diving board. Just they just changed the regulations, honestly.
So how can you get Evan? I mean, going back to my guy, Todd, I mean, Todd was like the king belly flopper.
Right.
I think
it's up to you to kind of run and if you got ups, you can do it. But no more diving board, but still belly flop competition.
What about the oatmeal competition?
Yes. Still oatmeal.
That's still a thing?
Yeah. That's a classic.
I hate oatmeal. I'm like repulsed by it. And I was like always just being near it, the smell always got to me. And I was I think when I was a CIT, I honestly think that I was supposed to do it, and I think I'm not doing the competition. Like, I will vomit in front of everybody.
It's not something you want.
Yeah, you don't want me to do it.
But oatmeal was like a badge of honor because you do it, and then I was like, I always thought it was cool that you do it, and then you get to go jump in the river, which apparently was something I was looking
That's
forward
right.
to.
Yeah, to clean off.
To clean off, which is hilarious.
And there would be oatmeal there for a while, for days after.
Yeah.
Just like sitting on the banks of the river.
Yeah. It wasn't great. For the turtle. It's a turtle food, so we could snatch them up.
Let's see. We have rainy days. So for rainy days, they still go to the stables and show movies.
I think for like downpour all day. Yes. So shortly after you were there, there was a session where, I'm not exaggerating, it rained every single day. Every day. It was the second session. It rained every day. And I think it broke rainy days because it got to, after that, it was like, if it was just sprinkling or lightly raining, we were like, we're going on with the day. Like, we're never going back to the tent in the stables. So if it's like downpouring, thunder, lightning, yes. Like, of course you have to be in the stables, but if it's just like unpleasant outside, like, no, we're going on. Perfect day to be outside.
How about GIMP? Is GIMP still a thing at camp?
Come on. Of course it is.
Yeah.
Come on. Big GIMP's got its claws all in camps across the country. So
it looks like, actually, I remember they sold it at Fisk's in Holliston.
Yes.
That's where, if you want to get your outside of camp GIMP fix,
yeah,
you
would go to practice. There. Yeah. Work on starting the box stitch. Yeah.
Box stitch, the butterfly stitch.
Yep. Barrel.
I would just kind of default to just tying like a knot. Knot on top of knot on top of knot.
But it was like one year, like they taught us, they're like, oh, the zipper. I'm like, oh, zipper. I can do that. That's easy.
What about sing-offs? They still do the sing-offs where they say, all right, everybody come up with a song that has the word love in it. And then each tribe would have to sing. And if you couldn't come up with one, or you duplicated in other tribes, then you're eliminated.
Ooh, good question.
I enjoyed those.
Yeah. And that was like something we wouldn't do all the time, like maybe once a year or once a session, right?
Yeah, and I think that was a part of like a rainy day activity too. So if everybody's in the tent, they needed to fill, you know, kill time, or like, yep, maybe if it was like they knew that after lunch it was going to be raining for, yep, like an hour or so, they need to keep us all together and sing and do away with fourth period.
Oh.
Fourth activity.
I had forgotten that. It wouldn't surprise me if they still do that, because that's a great time, yeah, kill. Yeah.
Ooh, I enjoy it. It was like, it's kind of like a trivia type of thing.
Yeah. Open, yeah. And you could kind of like prove your value in the tribe.
Yeah.
Or like, I remember one of the questions was very objective. It was like most unique middle name. And your middle name, I know from this, is Todd. And, right, and I remember it was between yours and Liz Baxter's, whose middle name was Dunn. I don't remember this. And it was like,
I was Todd a unique middle name. It's a pretty common name.
It's not. I think you just wanted to like show off that your middle name was Todd's name. I think, I'm pretty sure that's what that was. Cause I think we're all like, no, that's like a cool name.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. Oh, I've forgotten entirely about those. Good question.
Yeah.
Good job.
How about the tambourine?
Oh, yeah. So as of when I last worked there in 2004, yes. Or yeah, something to the effect. And actually, I think they expanded the band. So it was a tambourine, and they had like a washboard every day. And all of the key musical elements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about, I guess since we're on sync, do they still do Happy Birthday, the Beatles Happy Birthday?
They sure do.
Yeah.
They sure do.
A different person every year who, mm-hmm, they tap, and that person has to be like, wait, I'm sure at this point they're like, wait, who are the Beatles?
I would think so. Do you remember when that first started?
It was this. It was that guy Dave. I forget his last name, but he was a big Beatles fan, and he. I think he did it the first couple of years, something like that, and then he passed it because Bill Danner, I remember, was the serenader.
Yeah,
and I was always psyched because I had a summer birthday. That's my birthday was August 3rd, so I always knew that I was going to get serenaded happy birthday at some point.
That's right. Could you choose, or the counselor chose the next person?
I think it was the counselor would pass it down to someone else.
Like right.
The last day of the year, or the last, at least at some point, the last week of the year, they would pass it down to someone else to do it. And that person would have to decide, am I coming back next year?
Exactly. That's funny. Yeah, I remember when that first started. And it's pretty cool because that's like a staple.
So I don't know if there's an actual formal name for this, but I just called it Camp Justice, where if there was a counselor that got in trouble, maybe they were late or something like that, they would, instead of getting any sort of punishment, they could go up and plead their case in front of the camp. And then the campers would decide whether the counselor would need to be punished or not,
right,
by like doing dead ants or something like that in front of them. So they do dead ants still, I hope so.
They do, I believe, yes.
Yeah, dead ants.
Yeah.
Great. Best. I don't know how it's punishment, but it's still great.
All punishment is great. It's like, make yourself look like a fool in front of the camp. It's great. But
some counselors like would prepare for it and come up with elaborate story explanation. The more elaborate the explanation was, the more they put thought into it, like the more likely it was that they would get off. So
yeah.
Like there would be like some would write actual letters from someone else, like excusing them for why they were late or why they had to leave camp in the middle of the day to go get a turkey sandwich somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I think as of when I was last there, yes, you could still, it was less so. Cause I, like when we were campers, there was a lot of that. Like someone would get in trouble for like not wearing shoes, and all of their friends would rally behind them. And like, they'd have this whole story planned out, and depending on who the counselor was, would never, ever get in trouble. And if they were really good, would turn it around on the person who brought them up, and they'd
yes, that is a skill.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, actually, you should be doing dead ants.
Yeah, that is having your cake and eating it too.
Exactly. But yeah, I think the you know, the same rules: no running, no booing, no chewing gum, no bare feet. They're still in place. So I would imagine there is the punishment is equally as severe. Punishment being dead ants or gray squirrel, or I'm a little teapot or something to that effect.
Yes.
So yeah, you know, real camp justice. I love it. This was so much fun. Yeah, it is.
I really do. I just looked at him like, I can't believe it's been an hour and a half.
So, I know, right?
And time, much like those 6 weeks at camp, flies by.
There you go. What, did we just record the outro?